I'm Reverend Lisa Day, minister of the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Welcome to our weekly radio program, where you'll hear a segment from one of our recent services recorded at our church on beautiful Troop Square. We invite you to join us Sundays at 11 a.m. in person or via live stream on Zoom. You can find the Zoom link and more about Unitarian Universalism in Savannah at our website, uusavannah.org. We hope you enjoy today's program.
Good morning. Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. My name is Jane Rago, and I'm serving as your worship associate today. Our minister, Reverend Lisa Day, is our worship leader this morning. Our worship, religious education, and covenant group theme for September is Building Belonging. Here at the UU Church of Savannah, we are working to build a diverse, multicultural, and beloved community. We celebrate the presence and participation of people of all races, genders, sexual orientations, abilities, and ethnic and national origins. We warmly welcome you on YouTube and on site, whoever you know yourself to be and wherever you are on your journey. With the lighting of our chalice, symbol of our Unitarian Universalist faith, we enter into sacred time. And our chalice lighting words come from Emily Dickinson. To my small hearth, his fire came, and all my house aglow did fan and rock with sudden light. 'Twas sunrise, 'twas the sky. Impaneled from no summer brief with limit to decay, 'twas noon without the news of night. I, nature, today is day.
If I were called in to construct a religion, I should make use of water. Going to church would entail affording to dry different clothes. My liturgy would employ images of sousing, a furious devout drench. And I should raise to the east a glass of water where any angled light would congregate endlessly. Come, let us worship together. The words of meditation this morning from the poet Wendell Berry. Like the water of a deep stream, love is always too much. We did not make it. Though we drink till we burst, we cannot have it all or want it all. In its abundance, it survives our thirst. In the evening, we come down to the shore to drink our fill and sleep while it flows through the regions of the dark. It does not hold us, except we keep returning to its rich waters, thirsty. We enter, willing to surrender into the commonwealth of its joy. Our first reading this morning from the Polish Nobel Prize-winning poet Wisława Szymborska. A drop of water fell on my hand, drawn from the Ganges and the Nile. From hoarfrost ascended to heaven, from a seal's whiskers, from jugs broken in the cities of Ease and Tyre. On my index finger, the Caspian Sea isn't landlocked, and the Pacific is the Rudawa's meek tributary, the same stream that floated in a little cloud over Paris in the year 764 on the 7th of May at 3 o'clock a.m. There are not enough mouths to utter all your names, O water. I would have to name you in every tongue, pronouncing all the vowels at once while also keeping silent for the sake of the lake that still goes unnamed. Someone was drowning. Someone dying was calling out for you long ago, yesterday. You saved houses from fire. You have carried off houses and trees, forests and towns alike. You've been in christening fonts and courtesans' baths, in coffins and kisses, gnawing at stone, feeding rainbows in the sweat and the dew of pyramids and lilacs. How light the raindrop's contents are. How gently the world touches me. Whenever, wherever, whatever has happened. Our second reading comes from Kabir, who was an Indian mystic and poet. His life spanned the mid-15th century to the early 16th century, and he was considered both a Sufi and a Brahmin saint. This is a translation by Robert Bly. I laugh when I hear that the fish in the water is thirsty. You don't grasp the fact that what is most alive of all is inside your own house. And so you walk from one holy city to the next with a confused look. Kabir will tell you the truth. Go wherever you like, to Calcutta or Tibet. If you can't find where your soul is hidden, for you, the world will never be real. I don't know what sort of God we have been talking about. The caller calls in a loud voice to the Holy One at dusk. Why? Surely the Holy One is not deaf. He hears the delicate anklets that ring on the feet of an insect as it walks. Go over and over your beads, paint weird designs on your forehead, wear your hair matted, long and ostentatious. But when deep inside you there is a loaded gun, how can you have God? If Szymborska is right, and all the water that is and ever was in the world is contained somehow in this single drop on my finger, and the drops of water you brought with you this morning, and in the sources from which you gathered your water, and there is scientific basis for that claim, and if we turn this morning to water as a metaphor for truth or enlightenment, then isn't it a bit foolish that we come again and again to this specific place and time in search of what might be found anywhere there is water, at home or our neighborhood or our hometown or wherever we went for vacation this summer or pretty much anywhere? Perhaps. But it matters that we are here. If Kabir is also right, and it is true that what we too often seek outside of our own being, for what already exists within our own hearts and souls, that is to say, for God or truth, peace or enlightenment, and many spiritual practices teach some version of this wisdom, then aren't we as laughable as the thirsty fish when we come to this place and this time in search of what we already possess wherever we are at any time? Perhaps, but it matters that we are here. For the world is vast beyond comprehension, and our hearts and our souls often inscrutable, even to ourselves. We have a deep, abiding, nearly infinite longing for truth, meaning, peace, God, the divine. but we ourselves are finite. So if we're simultaneously awash in an ocean of truth and brimming with the holy in our very being, then in order not to be swamped or swept away by currents, in order to both access what is out there and what is within us, we need a protected harbor of sorts, a place of safety in which to practice listening to the wisdom of our hearts and souls, and from which to venture forth in search of the wisdom that is abroad in the world, a place to stay and grow and thrive for a time and over time. When I chose Speck from a free with purchase table almost a year ago and set it aside for this morning's service, it wasn't simply because it had a water theme. It was mostly, in fact, because a place to stay and grow and thrive pretty much encapsulates my theology of church. A stable, vital, vibrant congregation is a place where people can stay, find a place of belonging and security, but not stagnate, because it is also a place where they can grow and will eventually thrive. Ideally, all programs and ministries and committees and task forces and small groups of the congregation support staying, growing, and thriving. The predictability of a regular order of worship invites staying, while the ever-shifting tones, moods, eras and cultures, genres of songs, readings, stories, and meditations foster growth. Sharing and listening in small groups, brainstorming, problem-solving, and service on communities and task forces, public presence and witness alongside others as representatives of the church in the wider community, all these facilitate thriving by adding meaning and purpose and connection to our lives, while also deepening relationships among and within the congregation, building a sense of belonging and again encouraging us to stay. And when we stay over time, we tell and hear stories. Stories that through woven strands of commonality and uniqueness reveal truth, wisdom, and holiness in the hearts of our companions and in our own hearts. Stories that teach us how to replace the loaded gun in our soul with the holy. The lure of an entire ocean, an entire universe, awash in God's stuff and miracle and truth yet to be discovered, calls us to venture forth into books and retreats, pilgrimages and cross-cultural exchanges, classes and explorations. And the harbor of this congregation, a place of staying and growing and thriving, calls us to return again, that we might learn to meld all that we discover out there with all that is already in our very souls, until it is laughable that we ever thought that there was any difference between the atoms of the farthest stars and the atoms of the cells of which we are made. Amen.
This is Reverend Lisa Day. I hope you've enjoyed this program from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Savannah. Please join us at one of our services sometime soon at our church on Troop Square or live on Zoom. We're the beacon of liberal religion in Savannah, and you can find out more at uusavannah.org. We meet on Sundays at 11 a.m. Thanks for listening.